In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So if you don't think God, go ahead, sit down. If you don't think God has a great sense of humor, the first week I'm here, we're trying so hard to be good and perfect, and we had the wrong meetings from last week. And I'm thinking, oh God, I remember my sermon last week, but I don't know if I can recall it enough, and I prepared for the sermon for the meetings this week. So I made an executive decision to read, knowing you all were totally confused. And also, maybe God just wanted you to hear some words a second time around. So in case you didn't get it last week, you got them this week. So, welcome. Thank you for welcoming to this church. I'm excited to be here. And for some of you, you may not know, I was a social worker 45 years. If you don't think God has a sense of humor, call me to be a priest at this time in my life when my friends are off in Florida. And I am here for the winter. But I am glad to be here. But part of my job as a social worker is I work with children for many years and seniors and adults. And I have permission of one of my seniors to tell you the story. When she was a little girl, her mother, they thought, was dying, so she went to the hospital. So she went sick, I'll call it Linda. So Linda was sent to her dad, mother, and dad, who wanted nothing to do with the children, her and her brothers and sisters. And so her grandma and grandpa put them in the attic. And there they stayed. And after they had dinner, the grandparents would put leftovers in a pie tin and put them on the steps for them to have for their food, which wasn't enough for the four kids. So sometimes the brother would get sleep downstairs after the mom and the grandmother was in bed and take food out of the oven because that's where they kept it. And they would eat a biscuit or share it. And then he'd get beat for it. So it wasn't a good life during that time. Not only were they grieving that their mother may die, here they were in a horrible situation. And the mother actually got out of the hospital, got the kids back, but she wasn't doing well. So in the neighborhood, they had this wonderful woman called Aunt Sodie. So Aunt Sodie this time took the children in. Now Aunt Sodie was a character. Aunt Sodie ran numbers for the community. And she also, on Friday and Saturday night, had a running poker game. So she kept she had quite a social life. But Aunt Sodie was amazing. Aunt Sodie loved the children. At one point, somebody brought her a newborn baby about 3 pounds. Everybody thought the baby would die. And she kept that baby alive, and now he's a grown man, huge man. And because Aunt Sodie believed and was able to give him what he needed and loved and just was amazing. Aunt Sodie also, if one of the children sneezed, they all had to be lined up and got cod liver oil. And they used to say to each other, don't sneeze in front of Aunt Sodie. And cod liver oil was not something they all wanted. But the one thing these children remembered also, Aunt Sodie always had a pan of soup. There was always a big thing of soup, so they never went hungry. There was always enough food for the children. And then Aunt Sodie also made sure that they had the holidays. She worked with Goodfellas. And Linda remembers the day that Goodfellas brought her a pink dress, a beautiful, fancy pink dress. And she felt so wonderful in this dress. And so Aunt Sodie, we'd say, was a marginal character, but there was this heart that was bigger than the world for the children. And as grown people, they still remembered the Aunt Sodie in their life. But she lived on the margins. Lived on the margins, in Detroit. But she was this wonderful person. And the gospel today, it's about Jesus and about hearing himself. And the week before, he was in the temple and he knocked over the tables and sent the sellers out. So here were these people who were the leaders of the community, the temple leaders, and saying, who is this man? So they challenged Jesus. One thing you never do is challenge Jesus. And so he said, who gave John the authority? Well, John was a marginalized person, and they knew. They couldn't win with an answer. If they said God, then they were going to be in trouble because they didn't follow John. They didn't listen to John, and they didn't repent and do what needed to be done. They didn't correct their behavior. But if they said humans gave him the authority, they were not going to look well because they felt John as a prophet. They called him a prophet. So the only answer they could come up with to save face was, we don't know. I had a safe answer if you really want to know the truth. And they were used to trying to stay safe. So Jesus said, I'm not telling you either, because he wouldn't win either. But he gave him the story about the two brothers. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, we had four apple trees and a pear tree in our yard. And my mother used to say, go out and pick up the apples. Some were little, some were big, but they were all rotten. And sometimes we'd go out and say, okay, and we wouldn't be doing it, we'd get in trouble. And other times we just went out and said, you know, we're going to get in trouble, we might as well pick these suckers up anyway. So, you know, we're always faced with choices in life. And these two brothers, the example, they were faced with a choice. They could either do what was right, or they said they weren't doing what was right. But like the Ansonis in the world, they did what God wanted them to do. They lived a life of giving service to others. And it's those that give service, not the ones that parade in the priestly dress and the ones that profess that, you know, I'm this wonderful Christian. It's the ones that are the quiet servants. That's what God is asking us, each one of us, to be, are the quiet servants. And we may fuss about it. We may not expect that this is what God wants. But we have to have the quiet time to listen for what God is asking of us. And in this next few months I'm with you, God is going to ask you, what is it that God is calling you to be in this church? How are you to serve? What is service for this congregation in this church? Showing up on church on Sunday isn't all there is. We come to get fed so that we can feed others. That's what church is for. It's not so that we can feel good and go out and say, well, we went to church on Sunday. It's not enough. Yesterday, I went to a meeting, a conference that Total Ministry had, and they showed a film, documentary that took 3 years about Detroit. And in it, Church of Messiah was emphasized, and Father Berry, the priest, they talked about, at one point they went down to 40 people, and it was such a poor community that they didn't know how they could keep going. And he had to get a job, and he worked behind the meat counter. And then he had to rush off to do service. And it was so hard to be a priest to a community that needed him and yet to have to support himself. And that church grew from 40 to 300 people. But it's poor people. And they have to work hard. And what he said is, it's hard work. It's not easy. Being a Christian is not easy. And especially in the secular world we live in. So God's asking us, what is it that you should be doing differently to be the person That's going to be your struggle this year, is to really define that. So you know who it is that you need to call as a pastor that can help you go forward with your call. And that's what we should all be praying together in the next months ahead. Amen.